Overcoming Anxiety by Peter Amsterdam. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus addressed the topic of anxiety by saying, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" The understanding that God is our Father, that He loves us and will provide our daily physical requirements, should result in a deep trust in Him, a trust which counters anxiety or worry about our day-to-day physical needs. This teaching would have spoken powerfully to the first disciples, as they, along with Jesus, were itinerant preachers and teachers, unsure where their daily provisions would come from. Though most Christians today are not in similar situations, the principle of trusting in God's care still applies. The Greek word translated as anxious or worry means to be troubled with cares, to be anxious. The King James Version translates it as, "take no thought for your life," while contemporary translations render it as, "do not be anxious," or "do not worry." Worry, as used here, is the opposite of faith. Jesus' message is to have faith in the Father, to believe that He is the Creator and ruler of all things, and to trust that He will provide for His children. Jesus uses simple analogies from nature to make the point that we are to put our trust in God, rather than in possessions and sources of income. He addresses our fears and worries about not having what we need today and about the future. "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" While the birds may not sow or reap, it doesn't mean that God just drops food into their mouths. They do put effort into finding it. Yet He supplies their nourishment. Jesus then uses a lesser to greater argument to make His point. If God feeds the birds, will He not feed you, who are of more value than the birds? The understanding that God's human creation is of more importance to Him than the non-human creation is seen in the story of creation, where humans are the final and climactic act of creation and are given authority over the animal creations. Jesus makes this point as well. "Fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows." The second example from nature is the lilies in the field, and the same lesser to greater logic is used here. If our Father, the Creator of all the beauty in nature, the universe, and all that it contains, has made flowers which have such a short lifespan so beautiful, how much more will He supply our physical needs, such as clothing? Placed in between the examples of the birds and the flowers is a saying which shows how useless worry is. "Which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life?" Translators differ on whether this should be rendered as adding a cubit, about half a meter, to someone's height, or as adding a single hour to one's lifespan, as it can legitimately be translated either way. Whichever way it's understood, the answer to this question is, of course, self-evident. There is no sense in worrying, as it changes nothing. After pointing out that worry doesn't change things, Jesus asks, "If God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Several times in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus used the phrase, "you of little faith," when speaking to those who were afraid or anxious instead of trusting God. Faith, as used here, means confidence that God can and will act on His people's behalf. Having made the point that the God who feeds the animal and clothes the earth with the beauty of nature is our Father who loves us and will take care of our needs, Jesus again says, "Therefore, taking those things into account, we need not be anxious or worry. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat?' or 'What shall we drink?' or 'What shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." As he has done twice before in the sermon, Jesus makes a comparison between what the non-believers do and what believers should do. The Greek word translated here as seek expresses the concept of intensely searching for or craving a particular thing. While others may prioritize the material things of this world, Christians should focus on the fact that we have a loving Father in heaven who knows what we need and will supply those things without our being anxious or worrying about them. "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." We're told not to worry about tomorrow's potential troubles today, but to trust God for today's challenges and leave tomorrow's with Him. Each day will have its troubles, but in light of what Jesus taught here, we have the assurance that by God's grace, He will see us through them. Jesus doesn't teach that we won't have troubles, that our lives will always be smooth sailing, but He calls us to face our troubles with faith in our Father rather than with anxiety. God is our Father, and as believers, we are His children. As His children who seek Him and His righteousness, we can trust that our Father will supply our needs of food, drink, and clothing. He often gives us much more than the basics, but this passage promises the basics. Most of us are not wealthy, but we are called to have right priorities regarding money and material things. We are called to provide for our families, to do our best to have financial security to meet their needs, while also being mindful of not letting our financial goals take priority over our relationship with and service to God. As believers, we are responsible to use our finances for God's glory, to care for our loved ones, and also to help others, to be generous, to give back to God through our tithes and offerings, and to share our financial blessings with those in need. Also, Jesus never said that no believer would ever be without food, water, or clothes. Certainly, Christians throughout history have starved to death in famines or in prisons, or have lost all their material goods for one reason or another. The message here is not that Christians will never have difficulties or lean times, or that our lives will be trouble-free, or that we can expect God to supply for us abundantly at all times and in all places, or that we will not have to work for our sustenance. The message is that as believers, we are called to trust our Father in all things and not to worry. We are in His hands. He loves us, feeds us, takes care of us, and supplies our needs, sometimes abundantly. No matter what situation we find ourselves in, we would still be called to put our complete trust in Him, knowing that He loves us, we are His children, and we will live with Him forever.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.